So that means this hadith is not a concession for us to sin. And the hadith that we said about Allah being the forgiver is not a concession for us to sin. But this hadith is telling us, if we sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. And all of us will sin. But the one who makes those ahadith as a concession for them to sin, I am very afraid of them to be worse than the Jews. Because the Jews said, we're going to sin, and Allah will punish us in the hellfire for a few days. And this person is saying, we're going to sin, and Allah will not going to punish us at all. So who is severe in his statement? The statement of the Jews, or the statement of this person? This person. ماذا قالت اليهود؟ لن تمثل النار إلا أياما معدودات. فتباحوا لنفسهم الوقوع في المعاصي وعللوا ذلك وقالوا لن تمثل النار إلا أياما معدودات. وأما المسلم الذي يستبيح المعاصي ويقول أنا لن أدخل النار أبدا، فما الذي يقول قولة على الله أخطر من الأخرى؟ أتقولون على الله ما لا تعلمون؟ بلى من كسب سيئة وأحاطت به خطيئته فأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. الله سبحانه وتعالى answered the Jews. He said, are you given a covenant that Allah will do such thing for you? Or you are saying about Allah what you do not know? Verily, the one who does a mistake and his mistake envelops him is the person who is in the hellfire for eternity. So, ikhwan, we have to be very careful not to let the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lure us and encourage us to make sins and depend on His forgiveness. But the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should understand it in a way that every one of us is sinful and every one of us will make mistakes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our mistakes when we make them, but that in of itself is not a concession from Allah Azza wa Jal for us to sin. Having said that, we have finished this chapter, and inshallah we go through the issues, and then we move on to a chapter after that. The first issue is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a lot of bounty, si'atu fadlillah. The second issue, kathratu thawabi tawheed 'inda Allah. How much tawheed is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that from the hadith of Utban and the hadith that was narrated by Anas ibn Malik. The issue number three, that tawheed will be a means for us to get our sins expedited, erased. Issue number four, the tafsir for the ayah in Surah Al-An'am, and that is the ayah الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ. Issue number five, to think about the five elements in the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit. And the five elements are the two declarations, the declaration of La ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah, that Isa ibn Maryam is the slave and the messenger of Allah, that paradise is true and the fire is true. The sixth issue, that if you put together the hadith of Uthban and what comes after that, you're going to really understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah, and it's going to come to you the mistake of the people who are in vain. Because when we put those two evidence together, not everyone who says La ilaha illallah gets like a parent who receives this forgiveness. They have to say it seeking the reward from Allah, and they have to say it with sincerity. Issue number four, the note that the condition in the hadith of Uthban. What is the condition in the hadith of Uthban, ya akhwan? What is the condition in the hadith of Uthban that we talked about? Yeah. But what is the condition? No, that's the statement. This statement has a condition. And that's the condition. Saying La ilaha illallah, taking the faith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever say La ilaha illallah, taking the faith of Allah azza wa jal, he has to support the statement of his tongue by the statement of his action. Okay. The eighth issue, that the prophet, sometimes they need to be reminded of the virtue of La ilaha illallah. And that is derived from the hadith that we said it might be weak, because Musa, when he was requesting to know something to remember Allah and call Allah with, Allah told him to say La ilaha illallah. So Allah is emphasizing Musa the importance of saying La ilaha illallah. The ninth issue is to note that this, the statement of La ilaha illallah, weighs more than all the creation. Also, that is depend on the hadith of that we said it might have weakness to it, the hadith of Abi Sa'id. Also, the tenth point, to say the authenticity that the earth is seven layers, just like the sky is seven layers. The sky above us is seven. There's seven skies before above us. And the earth that we live on are seven layers. So just like there's seven layers of sky above us, there's seven layers of sky below us. The 11th issue, that أَنَّ لَهُنَّ عُمَّارًا, that those layers and those skies, they are inhabited by angels. We know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حَقَّ السَّمَاءُ وَحَقَّ لَهَا أَنْ تَأْخُذَ مَا فِي مَوْضِعِ أَرْبَعَ أَصَابِعَ إِلَّا وَمَلَكٌ سَاجِدٌ. He said, the sky is experiencing difficulties, and it's rightly so, because in every four fingers worth of space, there is an angel who is making prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The 12th issue is the affirmation of the sifat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, opposing those who are ash'ariyah. Ithbatu sifati khilafan lil ash'ariyah. What we said about ithbatu sifat? We said we believe in the attributes of Allah azza wa jal according to four criteria. Who can tell us those criteria? Ta'til li tashbih, takyid, wa tanfid. In the English, right. No, we explained it to you before. You believe in the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal according to four criteria. Without suspending, without altering the meaning, without resembling, and without imagining the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to go back to those things really study this material, because it's very important. Whereas the Ash'ariyah, which is Ash'ariyah is the name of a madhab, but not a madhab in the fiqh, but madhab in the creed. The Ash'ariyah, they do not believe in the attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal. They only believe in seven. They believe in lahu al-kalam, wa lahu al-sama', wa lahu al-basar, wa lahu al-hayat. But they do not believe in the other attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is the Ash'ariyah and there is Al-Mu'attila. Al-Mu'attila, who are higher step than Al-Ash'ariyah, they do not believe in any of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the hadith of Uthban, it affirms the attributes of Allah azza wa jal by saying, who can tell us where is the attribute in the hadith of Uthban? Wajhullah, the face of Allah. The face of Allah is one of Allah's attributes. And we believe Allah has a face according to the criteria that we have mentioned, without resembling, without suspending, without altering the meaning, and without fashioning the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. The 13th issue, it says, if you put together the hadith of Anas and the hadith of Uthban, that leaving association, it's not just something we do with our tongue. a person who has to leave association altogether is not something that is practiced by the tongue, but it has to be practiced by the action. The 14th issue is to think about Isa ibn Maryam being the messenger of Allah and his slave, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the messenger of Allah and the slave of Allah. The 15th issue, the specificity that Isa ibn Maryam is the word of Allah. Prophet Muhammad is not the word of Allah. Prophet Muhammad was created from his father, whereas Isa ibn Maryam was created from the word of Allah. Allah told him be, and he was. The 16th point is to know that he is spirit, was created from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The 17th issue, to know the virtue of believing in paradise and believing in hell. Because those believing in paradise and believing in hell, part of our belief system. And if we have this belief system correct, then we enter paradise according to our deeds. The 18th issue is to know the importance of saying he will enter paradise according to the deed. The 19th point, to know that the scale has two sides. The 20th point is to believe, to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the attribute of the faith. Having said that, we finish all the issues in this chapter, and we move to the chapter after that. But before going to the chapter after that, we would like to pause now and see if you have any question concerning this chapter that we have finished. And if you do, we try to clarify it, and then if we have time, we move to the second chapter. Everything is understood. Alhamdulillah. Fine. We move to the next chapter, and actually this chapter is like a continuation to the chapter we're talking about. باب من حقق التوحيد دخل الجنة بغير حساب. This is a chapter, whoever established tawheed will enter paradise without any reckoning. Whoever established tawheed, how will he enter paradise, Ya Malik, without any reckoning? He's never going to be asked anything. He will enter paradise directly to paradise, inshaAllah. But the question is, how we establish tawheed? How we establish tawheed? We establish tawheed by three things. First, we have to leave all kind of association. Secondly, we have to leave all kind of innovation. Thirdly, we have to leave all kind of sin. So, for us to establish tawheed 100%, we leave all kind of association, all kind of innovation, and all kind of sin. We stop at the first one, leaving all kind of association. Association defies tawheed. A person cannot be from those who establish tawheed if he is associating with Allah another deity. Or a person cannot be establishing tawheed if he is hypocrite in his practices. Similarly, a person cannot be a person of tawheed if he is establishing tawheed with showing off. He likes riya, he likes to show off to the people. Therefore, a person who wants to enter paradise without any punishment, they have to involve in constant struggle in making sure that their tawheed is pure from all kinds of shirk. The major shirk and minor shirk. We have to make sure that all the practices we do it sincerely for the sake of Allah. Lack of sincerity will open the door for hypocrisy, will open the door for showing off, to slide into our heart and position itself in a nice comfortable place in our heart and grow from there to corrupt the entirety of the heart. Therefore, it's upon us to maintain our guard and to maintain our thoughtfulness Therefore, we always sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, to leave all kind of innovation. Innovation is bid'ah. Bid'ah, in Arabic, we translate it as innovation. But innovation refers to innovation in the religion, not innovation in this life. I'm not going to tell you, Ya Rashid, for you to enter for that without any punishment, you have to abstain from dealing with those computers because they are innovation. They were not at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is not what is meant by innovation, because those things are innovation in this life. They have nothing to do with the religion except help us in promoting our religion. But innovation refers to innovation in the practices of the religion. Therefore, if somebody innovates a new prayer, if somebody innovates a new practice in the religion, somebody innovates to celebrate the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, somebody innovates to celebrate the day of Al-Mi'raj, the day of Al-Isra' wal-Mi'raj, somebody innovates the prayer of Al-Raghaib, somebody innovates other things, this is innovation in the religion. Every innovation in the religion, ikhwan, is in the hellfire. There is no good innovation and bad innovation. Every innovation is in the hellfire. Let it be very clear to you that every innovation in the hellfire, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ. Every innovation, everything that is new is an innovation. And every innovation is balala. And every innovation is in the hellfire. And every means and contains all type of innovation. So a person who wants to establish Tawheed, he has to leave all type of innovation. Leaving all type of innovations refers to two things. Innovating himself or practicing an innovation. Some people, they innovate. They are inventors. They sleep, they wake up and they say, today we're going to invent something. We're going to invent the prayers of Ar-Raghaib. We're going to invent this, we're going to invent that. They are the source of making those innovations. Those people are very sinful because they are saying in their action that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not complete his message. We have to come and add things to this religion to be complete. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. And Prophet Muhammad said, Ma taraktu shay'u yuqarribkum ila Allah illa amartukum bih. Nothing that will bring you closer to Allah unless I have ordained you to do. So the people who innovate, who do the innovation themselves, they are saying that the Prophet ﷺ did not complete the message and we need to come and enhance it and do more things for us to come closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, an innovator is not accepting that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is the last messenger. Therefore, we're not saying this innovator is a disbeliever by saying not accepting, but that's what it means by his practices. But if this innovation is an innovation that is in the creed, there's innovation in the creed, there's innovation in the practices, there's innovation in the statements. And every innovation has its rule in the religion. Not all innovations are in the same severity. Some innovations are very severe, and some innovations are less in severity. But all innovations are in the hellfire. And we say, when we say all innovation in the hellfire, that does not mean the person who innovates in the hellfire, he might be forgiven, he might Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him repent, he might be put in the hellfire. Allah ta'ala knows how he's going to administer his punishment to him. So for us to establish our tawheed in totality, we have to leave the practice of innovating. And for us also, we have to leave practicing innovation. Some people, they do not innovate themselves, but they practice innovation. How do they practice innovation? They see the people doing something and they do it. The people are celebrating the birth of the Prophet, let's do it. The people doing this, let's do it. The people doing that, let's do it. But whatever the people are doing, they do it. ما هو
بيت الشعر ما أنا إلا من غزية وإن بيت شعر في هذا المقام. إن رشدت رشود في بيت شعر في هذا المقام. There's a line of poetry about this related to that subject. The poets say, I am from those type of people. If they are good, I am good. If they're bad, I am bad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that some reason of, there's reason for people not to believe. One of the reasons for the people not to believe is to say, this is what we found our fathers are doing and we're going to follow them. إنا وجدنا آباءنا على أمة وإنا على آثارهم إنا وجدنا آباءنا على أمة على أمة على أمة إنا وجدنا آباءنا على أمة وإنا على آثارهم مهتدون. We find our forefathers on a certain religion and we're going to follow this religion. This is the reason for the people to fall into disbelief. And also, this is the reason for the people to fall into innovation. We say, this is what we do it in Egypt, this is how we do it in Syria, this is how we do it in Arabia, this is how we do it over there. But we have to ask ourselves, how does the Prophet ﷺ do it? How did he do it? What is the evidence? أين الدليل? Where is the evidence that you have to do that? Some people, when you ask him, أين الدليل? He gets very offended. As if you ask him for something that is very, very shameful to ask. A sheikh will come and tell the people, you have to do this and this and this. A person will ask him, Aina dalil, fadilat sheikh, you have to do that. And he will get so offended. How come you're asking for a dalil? You shouldn't ask me for the dalil, and so on and so forth. But we should, when we practice our religion, if somebody tells you, you have to do this and this. When you are praying, you have to do this and this. The least you have to say, okay, alhamdulillah, I will do it, but where is the dalil that we have to do that? I want to know the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By doing that, by being the type of people who ask for the proof, we put ourselves in a position not to let bid'ah spread on our shoulders. We do not want to be the vehicle for the bid'ah spread with. A lot of people who do not ask for the dalil, you just tell them, you have to do this, okay fine, you have to do this, okay fine. Thus the bid'ah is spread among those people. But whereas if we build our religious education to such a level that we are asking for the dalil, if the dalil is not presented for us, we can be a barrier from innovation to spread in our society. Thus, for a person to establish his tawheed 100%, he has to establish, he has to be free from innovation. The reason being innovation is legislation. And who is the one who legislates only? Allah. If we put ourselves in the position of legislation, things in this religion, we are trying to do things that is not befitting us. Therefore, it could be defiance of our tawheed. The last type of practice that we have to do to establish tawheed 100% is to leave all kinds of sin, major sin and minor sin. Major sin and minor sin. The naming of major sin and minor sin makes the people fall into a fallacy. They say major sin we do not have to do. We stay away from. But minor sin we can do it. It's only minor. What is to worry about? It's only minor sin. So the naming of the sin to be minor, when you call it minor, people start to, you know, take it easy and have a lenient approach to it. And that is a very psychological thing. People think in the term of the language. If you call something a strong name, people will think about it strong. If people call something in a soft name, they will think about it soft. Now, we have something that is related to our lifetime. And then I've been here for about 11 years. When I came to the United States, homosexuality or sodomy was not something very acceptable in the United States.
10 years from now, people are accepting that. But they changed the term from being sodomy to homosexuality to sexual preference. See how the name affects the people, how they think. Now it's not something that is simple, it's just a preference. Some people like Coke, some people like Pepsi, and some people like men, and some people like women. It's a preference. So the terms of the language that people think, it affects their thinking. So and then at the same token, some people say, this is minor sin, so let's do it. It's minor, no importance to it. But you have to look, minor sin, it means it's a sin. And you could be punished for it in the hellfire. And if those minor sins gather around you, it's like putting little sticks around you. Those sticks can make big fire around you if they gather to be large amount. And let it be known to you, every minor sin that you insist on doing, it turns to be a major sin. Because insisting on a minor sin in of itself is major sin. Insisting on a minor sin in of itself is a major sin. Also, you have to think, in both the minor sin and the major sin, you are disobeying one God. There's no God for major sin and God for minor sin. There's only one God. And both of them, committing those sins, represents lack of glorification to that God. So do not look at the sin, look at whom you are going against. Always when we do a sin, do not think about the sin itself. Look and ponder who you are going against. You are going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in both the minor sin and the major sin. And the person who has to establish tawheed, he has to lead a life of being free of sin. But none of us is immune from sinning. All of us are going to do sin. None of us is free from sinning, but this is the lifestyle we are going after. The reason sinning is included in establishing tawheed, because sinning is based on our temptations and desires. A person desiring something, and this desire is so strong in him that will control his intellect, will control his faith. Thus he will do that which is sinful. And when we let our desire take control of us, that means we are adhering to our desires and we're not adhering to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus we become as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayah, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you pondered about the one who took his desires as his Lord? How did he make desires as his Lord? Whatever his desires told him to do, he did it. Therefore, a person to establish Tawheed 100% has to stay away from all type of innovations, all type of association, and all type of sin. Now we conclude this lesson, inshallah, but before we conclude, we're going to ask you a question. We can have next lesson to go into detail to prove that there's no good innovation and bad innovation. We can make a special lesson to that and continue the tawheed. If you want to do that, we can do that. If you do not, we just leave it up to what we have said and we continue. Yeah, Saturday night, we designate part of the lesson to prove there's nothing as good innovation. We go more detail into that subject. If you don't want to do that, we just sufficient what we have said and we continue.